An hour of smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Apatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Apatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his mighty Allen Art players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And more hopeful amateurs, including Tom the Talking Bird. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! The crowd is cheering madly as Fred Allen leads his weekly parade to the old Town Hall. The music's so hot, Fred's directing the band with a poker. And the mighty Allen Art players bring up the rear in their smoking jackets. Let's join the happy throng. Everybody, boys! Here they come, opera singers.
Why are you giving up your French home to live in America, Miss Pond?
You have one thing here that is bringing me back for good. It's Town Hall tonight.
Hospital patient.
You rang for the night nurse, sir?
Yes, slip these bandages off my ears, nurse. It's Town Hall tonight.
Kiddies.
If Tom the Talking Bird talks tonight, what'll he say, Ma?
He'll probably say what we all say Wednesday, son. It's Town Hall tonight.
In front of the old Town Hall folks, and there's Fred doing his vocal calisthenics to attract the crowd. Let's listen.
The moon may be over Miami, folks, but the stars are here at the Town Hall. Now stop pushing there, lady.
Evening there, Leatherlung.
Hi there, Brother Swain. How's the old justice of the peace?
There's any justice, Brother Allen. You can keep the peace.
That's what they all say, Brother Swain. Bring your wife for the time of her life, men. Hurry, 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 hurry.
Hi, Red Nose. Can I go in your amateurs?
What do you do, son?
I sing alone with three other fellas.
Okay, son, tell the other three kids to see Uncle Jim.
I got your frog voice. Say, fellas.
It's Town Hall tonight, folks, so hasten, hasten,
and we're
hasten.
All set backstage, Fred.
Okay, Harry, the overture's Cosi Cosa.
Righto, let her go, Peter.
Cosi Cosa is a wonderful word. When anyone asks you how you are, it's proper to say Cosi Cosa, Cosi Cosa. If a lady should ask you, you say you know that it's not a love affair, say Cosi Cosa. Does it mean yes? No. Does it mean no? Well, yes and no. Cosi Cosa. Get together and sing la la la. It's easy to say, so try today and learn to sing Cosi Cosa, Cosi Cosa.
Presenting that rip-roaring rococo Romeo of ridiculous roguish rigmarole, rhapsodic repartee, and romping rondelay, Fred Allen in person.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before taking the double boiler off the fire and serving what we've stewed up for you this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge Wife, public grocer number one, says that some professional agitators have been holding demonstrations outside of the store claiming that Hodge is displaying communistic celery. Now, Hodge says he didn't know he was handling communistic propaganda. He's been selling this red celery for years and calling it rhubarb. So much for enlightenment in the neighborhood. And now for the Town Hall news. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
Good old Harry. Mm-hmm. Rococo Romeo. What is it that can sink to a pretty low level and not be affected socially?
Well, Fred, that must be our picture sheet, and I'll sink her now.
Oh, spinach. You guessed it, didn't you? Where have I heard that before? Oh, spinach. If you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child, Harry. But what happens if you use the switch?
Well, that's simple, Fred. You turn out the lights. Out they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News. Sees nothing. Shows all. New York City, New York. Miss Lillian Rock, speaking at Business Women's Roundtable Luncheon Club, says that United States will have a woman vice president by 1940 and eventually a woman president. Town Hall News shows what the White House may be like if we ever do have a woman president. The scene, an executive room in the White House in 1950.
You rang, Madam President?
Yes, sir, Dan. What is that demonstration on the lawn?
It's the Girl Scouts convention. They're expecting you to say a few words.
Very well. Open the window, Perkins.
Yes, madam.
Hooray!
Yoo-hoo, girls!
An encore, madam?
No, Perkins. That will have to do them.
The Secretary of the Interior is waiting, madam.
Well, don't dally, Perkins. Show her in.
Jane, darling.
Grace, dear. And what is my new Secretary of the Interior been up to?
You'll never guess. I'm streamlining Washington Monument.
What?
And I'm putting yellow robes on all judges.
But Grace...
And I'm painting our battleships lavender. Gray is so drab, don't you think?
But Grace, don't you know your duty?
Well, as Secretary of the Interior, I'm in charge of decorating, aren't I?
No, dear, you just ought to stay inside, in the interior, you know.
Well, I must say, if you're trying to bury me socially, I resign.
That cat... Serves me right for finding her.
Executive Chambers. Very well. I shall tell Madam President.
Who was that, Perkins? The Philippines?
No, the governor of Colorado. He says you must have pressed the wrong button yesterday.
I only pressed one button, Perkins. It opened a bridge at San Francisco or something.
Still, it must have been the wrong button. You've pulled down Boulder Dam.
Confound these buttons. Why can't the White House afford a zipper? I could open everything at once.
The Budget Committee is waiting.
Oh, that old ball. Show him in.
Good morning, Madam President.
Oh, dear. What is it now?
Something has got to be done. There isn't a penny left in the Treasury.
Well, don't look at me. I haven't been near the Treasury for weeks.
But the public debt is...
Who is that, Perkins? The Department of Fisheries?
No, a messenger from the Intelligence Office, Madam.
Batch for Madam President. Urgent.
Oh, give it here, boy. Good heavens.
Not bad news, madam.
Perkins, call out the Army this instant. Call out the Navy. Tell them to mobilize at the railroad station. I'm off.
Is it war, madam?
No, it's a reception. Clark Gable is arriving on the 10:15.
New Haven, Connecticut. Dr. Yandell Henderson, Yale University physiologist, perfects gas lung that will sober intoxicated subjects in less than 1 hour. Town Hall News shows how Dr. Henderson's invention will benefit tipplers in the near future. The scene, the tap room at a New York club.
Give me another Applejack frappe, bartender.
Okay, Mr. Farnsworth.
Hello, Farnsworth.
Oh, hi, Tilton. What you gonna have, old boy? I'll get stuff.
Give me a rye highball.
Okay, bartender, one high rye ball.
Right, Mr. Farnsworth, one rye high ball.
And make mine another Applejack frappe.
Okay.
Hey, you got quite a load on, Barney.
Yeah, what a load. Oh, I'll have to make 2 trips to get it home.
Well, here you are, men. One rye high ball, one Applejack frappe.
Yeah, okay. Here's looking at you, Sultan.
Looking at me? I'm over here.
don't bother. I'll see you when you come around again. Yeah, bottoms up.
Ah, that'll put hair on your comb.
Oh, boy, that's perfect. Oh. What are you going to have?
Oh, no, this one's on me, Farnsworth.
Oh, no, no, I insist. 2 Applejack parfaits. I'll have the saver.
I got it.
Hold that drink, bartender. He fell down.
I'm okay. Mine's waffle track.
Well, you can't drink it laying down there.
The bartender's right, Farnsworth. You've had enough.
Oh, I'm okay. Just pour mine on the floor, and I'll laugh it up.
What is it, boy?
Mrs. Farnsworth's waiting at the door.
Oh, she has to come right round the mountain.
She ain't coming round no mountain. She's here.
Say, let go of that brass rail, Bonnie. It's the wife.
The wife? Oh, roll me over. I'll talk to her under the door.
Say, he can't leave the club this way, bartender.
Now, I'll say he can't. He'll give the joint a bad name.
Well, I tell Mrs. Farnsworth she's a repeal widow, sir.
No, tell her he'll be right out. I'll fix him up.
Okay.
Hey, how are you going to straighten him out? Starch him?
No, I got some of that new gas here. It'll sober him in 2 minutes.
Well, set the tank on the floor. Here.
Okay, now wait. This nozzle fits over the nose.
I feel like a feather in the breeze.
Keep still, Fonny. Now, where's this hose go, bartender?
Between his lips.
Open your mouth, Fonzra. The hose is in. Ready on this end, bartender.
Okay, now he'll be sober in no time. I'll turn on the gas.
Hey, I bit a hole in somebody's tire.
Wait, that's enough. This gas is powerful.
Come on. Get up, Farnsworth. There, how do you feel?
Fine. What's wrong, boys?
Nothing. Your wife's outside.
Yeah, she's waiting for you. Wife, outside? Where am I?
You're in the club. This is the bar.
That's funny. I must have had a dizzy spell. I don't remember a thing.
Yeah, you look a little shaky.
Yes, you better pull yourself together before you meet the wife.
Right. Well, Chilton, there's one thing that always fixes me up.
Yes, Mr. Farnsworth?
Give me an Applejack frappe.
Once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. Chicago, Illinois. After drastic Midwest winter, Chicago reports first signs of spring. Newsboy sees the first robin. The robin.
Pick him up, buddy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And now, the mystery of the Laughing Man.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Proceed at once to 1821 Harford Avenue, where Joe Moore woke up this morning with an awful grouch. But when he left the house for work, he was laughing. The only clue to the mystery is a bottle of sal hepatica with 2 teaspoonfuls missing. That is all.
Well, now, there's really no mystery to that. For when anyone wakes up feeling grouchy and out of sorts, you can usually count on 2 things causing it. Waste in the body and too much acid in the system. 2 things the doctors have been recommending sal hepatica for more than 40 years. Here's why.
Sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that quickly and effectively does 2 things. It rids your body of waste, and it also combats your acidity.
So whenever those 2 things are keeping you from feeling your old normal self, just put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Help nature to help you by remembering sal hepatica for the smile of health.
As I pan a troubadours have just played, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket, and they'll come out chick to chick. Now, on Saturday night... Quiet, please. If that's some carpet salesman trying to get the floor, I'll go to the mat with you if I come down there.
Hello.
Well, sir... The hostess laughed when I walked up to the piano. She didn't know I was going to scratch a match. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, Papa set me out to get some timetables, so I thought I'd stop in.
Timetables? Don't tell me Papa's leaving town in an effort to beautify the city.
No, didn't you read in the papers that all the railroad fares are coming down to 2 cents a mile?
That's right, I did.
You know, at 2 cents a mile, the railroads will probably put the hitchhikers out of business.
I'll say. Papa says it's going to be so cheap to travel that panhandlers will be leaning out of train windows asking for coffee.
I can imagine. I hear the railroads are going to run most of their trains through tunnels later.
They probably want to hide. They're ashamed to be seen carrying people around the country for 2 cents a mile.
And it's not going to help any if your father steals all of the timetables.
Papa says people can spend their vacations on trains and save money.
Save what?
I'll show you. A 2-week vacation at $5 a day comes to $70, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, riding 8 hours a day at 30 miles an hour makes 240 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 2 cents a mile, it would be only 480 a day. You save 20 cents a day right there.
That's right. Plus the fare, it would have cost you to go to the place where they'd have charged you $5 a day if you could have gotten in.
Yes, and as long as you stay on a train, you're showing a profit.
I get it.
So if you ride long enough, you'll end up an old man in the big money. It's simple, isn't it?
Aren't we all? Now, if you just get on a train...
Oh, no, I have...
Now, look, Portland. When you're with me, people think I'm a hermit.
Oh, I get it. Well, I can fix that. Mr. McCaskill!
Oh, Mr. McCaskill. Duncan!
I lost some presents on your toes, Duncan.
I see that I'm standing in your shadow. It'll keep the lights from fading my kilt.
Hey, that's a good laugh, Duncan. And close your left eye. There's nothing to see, and you'll save the wear and tear in your eyeballs.
Why don't you two just look at each other and keep the glances in the family?
This is Mr. McCaskill, Mr. Allen.
Hey, and I'm dubious about knowing you.
And this is Mr. McCaskill's son, Duncan.
Aye, if there's any pleasure involved in this meeting, I can't sense it offhand.
Now here, no sarcasm, son. If I start to paddle you under those kilts, you'll think you're riding side saddle on an electric fan.
Here, here, now hold on, bigot. If you lay a hand on Duncan, I'll help myself to a handful of your nose for a souvenir.
Aye, you'd have to feed a cat many a grapefruit to get a puss as sour as his, eh, Peter?
And keep my face out of your conversation.
Yes, fellas. Gruesome.
Aye, a face like his is an insult to the spine that's carrying it around.
Confidentially, if your face is your fortune, you're practically on release.
Now here. Now here, listen, son. You may be a cheap off the old block. But I'm apt to pull your scalp down till your nose comes through that part in your hair there.
Oh, stop it, Mr. Allen.
Well, what do these oatmeal addicts want?
Mr. McCaskill and Duncan are actors.
What do they do, play swing music on the bagpipe?
Oh, no, they're artists.
Aye, the lad here is a little wizard.
Aye, and Poppy here is no slouch.
And tut-tut, lad, I'm a mite the better because I'm older.
Ah, you're backward, Peter. You know you're tough.
No, no, I insist, lad. You're supreme.
Well, if I am, Peter, it's only because I take after you.
All right, all right. Now, what do you two do besides lie to each other?
They do everything, Mr. Allen. Singing, recitations, and all-around fun.
Ah, the lass is putting it mild. We're versatile.
Why don't you recite something, Duncan?
I will.
Oh, boy, what's it going to be?
A retort to Annie Laurie. I'll no lay me down and tea for Annie Laurie. Although Dee will have a wee bit of endurance. The reason I'll know Dee, well, it's as plain as it can be. If I Dee, then Annie will flee with my insurance.
Hey, that'll hold Annie, lad.
Gosh, that was swell, Duncan. Now let's have some of your fun.
Right. Are you in the mood to have your side split, pickle puss?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute here.
Aye, if the lad's in fettle, you'll roar.
Aye, I'm in fettle, Feather.
Then prepare to roll on the floor, Alan.
All right, all right. Stop me spinning when he's finished.
I'm laughing already.
Mind your reservabilities, folks. Here I go. What is it has four legs and flies?
Oh, it's a whopper.
I can't keep from laughing myself. That's the way I tell it.
When I laugh like this at the question, we'll probably die at the answer.
Now, if you folks don't mind, I'll keep a straight face till my lawyer gets here.
Heard, man. Don't be so inquisitive.
Guys, I'm going to rest up so I'll be ready for the wow finish.
Now, wait a minute. You can't leave half a joke dangling in the air around here. I'm going to see this thing through. Now, what is it that has four legs and flies?
I don't know. People laugh so much I've never had to finish it.
Right, lad. We've had our sport out of the question. I'm for letting the whole thing drop.
Well, I'm not letting it drop. I'll tell you what has four legs and flies. It's you two pests, and you're flying right now.
It's a hint, Duncan. Come, lad.
Wait for me, Duncan.
So long, Portland.
Pally, ho!
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Town Hall Quartet. Tonight the boys sing, We'll Have a New Home in the Morning, from the opera, El Foreclosure.
Oh, Lord, something's wrong with this congregation. Oh, Lord, please tell me what I'm going to do.
What you going to do? My boss and I'd get right up there in that pulpit and give these here backsliders a piece of my mind.
Well, bless you, Deacon. That's just what I've come to do.
Oh, amen.
Oh, ye careless daughter. Gather round, ye proud and boastful son.
Come on, all of
us. I've been preaching in this schoolhouse.
You is now.
Asking you to raise some building funds.
Gospel truth, you talking.
Your contributions have been very slow.
It's a dirty shame about them.
I asked the Lord what we should do.
That's a sweet thing.
Now I have his answer, brethren.
No rain.
And I'll shout it out to you. Bring along your hammer. Bring along your nails. We'll have a new home in the morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bring along your hymn book. We'll sit on cotton bales and sing a new song in the morning. Sing a song in the morning. We gotta start in giving before we can get. We gotta start in doing some things we haven't done yet. Oh, bring along your children and bring the old folks too. We'll have a new home in the morning. We'll have a big camp meeting, a great revival day.
We'll have a great revival day.
You gotta have religion to keep that devil at bay.
We'll have a sun and moon to shine on while we pray.
We'll have the moonlight while we pray.
We'll have the Swanee River to wash our sins away.
Singing Jubilee,
oh,
bring along your children, bring the old folks too, we'll have a new home in the morn, in the morning.
Thank you. Thank you, and now...
Von
Zell. Hey, you better duck, Harry. It's a friend of Portland's, and she probably...
Hello, Mr. Von Zell.
Too late. Miss Young, Mr. Von Zell. And don't say that I didn't warn you, Harry.
Oh, Mr. Von Zell, I go to high school here, and I'd love to get an interview for our school magazine.
Well, you see...
Tell me, are you married?
Why, yes, I am.
Oh, dear. Now I'll have to get a crush on somebody else. Have you any children?
Uh-huh, I have a boy 7 years old.
Honestly?
Yes, that's the truth.
Well, tell me something else. What does your wife think of you?
Oh, Miss Young, please.
Oh, Mr. Von Zell, I don't mean what you mean. I mean, doesn't she ever say anything when you go around the house all the time talking about eye panna toothpaste or...
Oh, I never say anything about toothpaste at home.
You don't?
No, our dentist said all there was to say the first time we took our son to see him. And he said it in one word, eye panna.
Oh, then when you talk about eye panna on this program, you really mean it.
You bet I do, because I'm speaking from an experience that happened long before I was ever on the program. And ever since, our youngster's been crazy about the taste of eye panna. In fact, he likes it so much he wants to clean his teeth with it even more than he has to. As for my wife and myself, well, when we find another toothpaste that does more for our gums and our teeth than eye panna, we'll use it. We haven't yet, and you can put that in your book.
Oh, that reminds me. Will you autograph my book for me?
Why, certainly.
Thanks. And will you write something in it, too?
You bet I will. Remember, eye panna, for the smile of beauty.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the mighty Alan R. Players, the first actors ever to play The Postman Always Rings Twice and have the postman hissed off the stage before he even got near the doorbell. Tonight, these dummies in life's game of bridge present another mystery playlet entitled Murder Backstage, or One Long Pan Gets His Mannequin. Overture, Peter.
What was that, Mr. Cook?
A shot, Murphy. It came from one of those dressing rooms.
Help!
Who was it?
It's Heidi Tess, the midget. Has been shot.
I'll get the time.
I'll phone the police.
Well, what happened? Who shot? Help! Please!
Help! Help!
Calling all cars, calling all bicycles, calling all pogo sticks. One Long Pan reported once to Palace Theater backstage. Tiny Tess, lady midget shot. Calling One Long Pan. Come out, come out, wherever you are. Report at Palace Theater, calling One Long Pan.
How is Tess?
I don't know. We've called a doctor.
But who'd shoot a midget?
Quiet, here comes the detective.
Greetings, greetings. Hi ho, everybody. Detective One Long Pan saw us your busybody on job. After shock, mystery solved in two shakes, ham's tail. Oh, who are these people?
We're actresses.
Yes, we're on the bill here.
Your ladies go back dressing room. Long Pan, greet you personally later.
That's a promise, big boy.
Big boy, big boy. Oh, your kiddo, kiddo.
Hey, get your mind on the case, Long Pan. Who did it?
Who did what? Before Long Pan solved mystery, first prefer know what mystery is solving. Very important, very important.
Well, Tiny Tess, the midget, has been shot.
And who are you, Tattletail?
I'm Joe Cuff, manager of the theater.
Where is this midget, Tiny Tess?
She's in the star dressing room, right here. How is she, Murphy?
Pretty low, Mr. Cuff.
Every midget low. If midget high, midget would not be midget. Very good, very good, very good.
This ain't no time for anagrams.
You bet, no time monogram. Your fine revolver?
No, there was no revolver.
No?
No, when we broke in, Tess was laying on the floor, just like she is.
Very, very baffling. No bore hole window. No hole here door. No hole wall. Only hole and donut. But no donut in room, so no hole.
Yes, it's a mystery, all right.
No, no footprint, no fingerprint, no blueprint. Who was here backstage when shot fired?
Only the vaudeville acts on the bill. They were all in their dressing rooms. The picture was on.
Very good, very good. I will grill actors. Grill actors one by one, or West Siamese twins on bill.
No, they're coming here next week.
Very good. I will grill them on a rifle. We will go.
Okay, Long Pan. I'll show you where the dressing rooms are.
Long Pan follow. Long Pan joy good follow.
The first act was Gulpo, the sword swallower. He's in here.
Yes, I'll knock.
You Gulpo, sword swallower?
Where did I get this sword out of my mouth so I can talk?
Very good, exceptional. Man who talk with sword in mouth will mince words.
Where were you when Tiny Tess was shot, Gulpo?
I was up on the stage cleaning my prop.
You'll fire shot at Tiny Tess? Yes, or I'll buy.
Now listen, I don't know nothing but sword swallowing, see? I'll show you. Look, here's a 90-inch blade. I'll bolt it.
Very good. Now sit down.
Ooh, I'm stuck.
Very good, very good. You'll give Saw Swallow enough sword, he will pin himself down.
Come on, Long Pan. Who's in number 6, Murphy?
Swenson, he saws a woman in half.
Saw a woman in half. Very nice work if you can get it. I will not.
Hey in there, Swenson.
Yes, yeah, come in.
They're busy rehearsing, Mr. Kerr.
Yeah, he's almost got me sawed in half. We won't be a minute.
You'll finish. Very entertaining.
I just saw this one corner. There we are.
I'm sawed clean in half, Jim. Could I get a committee to come up and examine me?
Now, hold it a minute. Long Pam wants to question you two about Tiny Tess. Bring her over here, Swenson.
Okie pokey. Here she is on the half cell.
Now, young lady, do you shoot a Tiny Tess? You no talk, eh?
Yump and yiminy, I brought the wrong half. They got the legs.
Oh, that's all right, Copper. I can hear you from here.
Did you shoot Tess?
How can I shoot anybody? I'm living the life of a jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, sorry, Swenson. Sorry, lady.
It's okay, boys. Come up and saw me sometime.
Very clever, very witty. Closed door, closed door.
This case is hopeless.
Who is next?
The great Lippo, the ventriloquist. He's right in here.
I will grill Great Whippo to fairly well, well.
Well, what about it?
Tiny Tess, the midget's been shot, Lippo.
Well, what about it?
Quiet, Whippo. Quiet, Whippo. Look at your part. One voice at a time.
I'm sorry, boys. When a ventriloquist gets excited, he's apt to
talk in 3 or 4 voices at once.
It's okay, Lippo. This is one Long Pan, the detective.
Oh, hello, Long Pan.
Hello, boy.
Did you shoot Tiny Tess, Lippo?
I don't know nothing about no shooting.
You see anybody around through hall?
No, I'm nearsighted.
I couldn't see anybody if they ran in the room.
One voice at a time, Lippo.
But I'm innocent, I tell you. I've been in my dressing room here rehearsing with the dummy.
You show Long Pan exactly what you do for better.
Yeah, well, first I put the dummy on my knee like this. Then I start the act.
Very good, very good. Take off.
Well, Tommy, how do you feel?
I feel like a hammock.
How is that?
I'm high, strong, and ready to swing it.
Very good, very good. A little hokey, but very good. You mind if I examine the dummy head, Lippo?
No, it's okay with me. He can't feel nothing.
Oh, you bad Tommy. Long time slap dummy.
Hey, what's the big idea slapping me?
Hey, who was that?
Quit throwing your voice, Lippo.
I didn't say nothing.
Very interesting. I will slap dummy again. Make sure.
Cut it out, I told you. I'll get down off of this knee and brain you.
I must be nuts. He's talking without me.
Very good. Mystery solved, gentlemen.
What do you mean, sir?
I arrest Tommy, ventriloquist dummy, for shooting Tiny Tess.
No, yet. Don't let go of my neck.
You keep still.
What is this, my dummy alive?
Your dummy, not ventriloquist dummy. He is midget. Masquerade as dummy. You come clean, the little man. You get hot high chair.
Up. You got me with a good Long Pan.
So you shot Tiny Tess?
Sure, I plugged him.
Why?
Well, we were midgets together in the circus. She tooth-timed me with the living skillet, and so I let her have it.
Very good. You're very clever. How your short Tiny Tess leave no clue in dressing room?
I never was in the room. I couldn't reach up to the doorknob to open the door, so I fired the bullet through the keyhole.
Mystery solved, gentlemen. Aesop say, before you double-cross midget, first stuff up keyhole.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are still with us have just heard the Mighty Allen Art Players. And if there are any critics among you, let them speak now or expect the players again next week.
I'll take you up on that, Mr. Allen.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. A heckler, hey? Now, what are your qualifications for such a task, my good man?
I'm Gilbert Brown, the critic.
Uh-uh. Well, wouldn't you like to get warmed up on something else first?
Well, makes no difference to me. I'd just as soon criticize Mr. Von Zell.
Oh, well, all right. Go ahead. I can take it.
Well, in the first place, Mr. Von Zell, why do you put such emphasis on Ipana toothpaste? After all toothpaste are pretty much alike, aren't they?
No, not by a long shot, Mr. Brown. You see, some are made only to clean your teeth. But what about your gums?
Now, do you mean to say that if my gums are in bad shape, Ipana will fix them up?
No, not necessarily. If your gums are in bad shape, you go to your dentist, because he is the only person to prescribe for any serious trouble. But the chances are, if your gums are tender and touchy, it's because modern soft foods rob them of exercise and stimulation. And that's why dentists say massage your gums back to health with Ipana.
Maybe I'll lose my standing as a critic by asking instead of telling, but why?
Because Ipana is made especially to help tone and strengthen gums. And that's why we say massage a little Ipana into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it. And it will surely help give you firmer, healthier gums and far lovelier teeth and smiles.
I guess that finishes me as a critic, Mr. Von Zell. I can't remember anything else to criticize.
Well, you'll never criticize the care of teeth or gums if you'll just remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. Town Hall tonight continues immediately after your station announcement.
Market crash.
Oh, I'm building up to an awful letdown by falling in love with you.
Well, we're back in Town Hall, folks, and that was Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours playing I'm Building Up to an Awful Letdown, sung by the Town Hall Quartet. Now, tonight, our amateur contest features an all-Harlem night. Our contestants are all colored boys and girls who are hopeful of following in the footsteps of the many great colored performers who have come from that section of uptown New York known as Harlem. So let's give these young hopefuls a real town hall reception.
Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight our amateurs compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be registered on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may select your winners for the first and second prizes. Now, before we start the Harlem section of the amateur program, I am happy to announce, ladies and gentlemen, that once again tonight we present Tom the Talking Bird. Mr. Cashmire has been kind enough to bring Tom down again tonight, and we're hoping for the best. What is the outlook, Mr. Cashmire?
Thank you, Mr. Allen. This is our third consecutive week.
Yes, it is. And we haven't heard a word out of Tom yet, have we? We have. I hope we do tonight. You know that last Sunday they tell me that Mr., believe it or not, Bob Ripley had a bird on his program that actually talked. Did you hear about that? And I understand that Mr. Ripley made some remarks about our bird, Tom, here. That, so we can't.
Oh, yes, I know. That's John Peel. He's supposed to be the greatest talking parrot in the world.
The greatest talking parrot in the world. He says,
Parrot, yes, but my bird's a minor.
A minor? Is that younger than a parrot? But, incidentally, this is a really peculiar thing about Tom here. We've all heard him talk around here on the program. He talks before the show, after the show for hours. It's only during that we have the trouble. And incidentally, for Mr. Ripley, believe it or not, John Teal, is that the bird's name?
John Teal is right.
That bird talks in one-syllable words, doesn't it? Whoopee well, and ha-cha and things like that.
This bird has several words, not only in short speeches, one and two words, but short sentences.
I wanted to call it...
like this. Tommy wants a cup of coffee. Tommy has gone to the moving pictures. Hello, May. Come up and see me sometime.
Yeah, just goes to show you. We had Jack Benny here last week, and he talked.
Oh, Tom.
It's a real thing, isn't it? Has he had anything to eat tonight?
He's had a little banana and cream.
Little bananas and cream. I thought probably he was an after-dinner speaker. If we fed him first, he'd be more apt to say a few words.
Oh, Tom. Tommy is going to the moving pictures. Tommy wants a cup of coffee. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
See, I can't imagine what's coming to Tommy.
Oh, big boy. Tom, what's your name? My name is Tom. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
Say, after he is...
Wait, whistle. Now he may talk.
Oh, all right. I won't say a word. You all right?
All right. Go down with a drink. I got a little scotch in it tonight. He may.
Well.
What's your name? What's your name? My name is Tom.
Tommy wants a cup of coffee.
Tommy wants a cup of coffee.
Very good.
Nice day. Hello, May. Hello, May. Hello, May. Improving. Hello, May. Good evening, everybody. In a very distinct voice you would say if you want to. Good evening, everybody. Good as any human being can say it. Good evening, everybody.
Tommy Ford, the moving picture.
Tommy Ford, the moving picture.
That's very good.
Good evening, everybody. A little whistling on the side, but he whistles.
Uh-huh. The only thing is, he's sort of original with his answers. He hasn't...
He's far the time now. He'll go ahead.
Oh, is he?
Tommy.
Tommy, what's your name?
Yes, you see?
What's your name?
I thought Whistler's mother would have probably recognized him.
Good evening.
Good
evening.
I see. Thank you very much. I hate to interrupt him now that we've got him going, Mr. Cashmire, but...
He'd like to stay here a little more time. He likes time. He likes something, too.
Well, you see, now we probably have to take us 3 weeks to shut him up now that we've... Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very happy, Mr. Cashmire, that Tommy has vindicated himself... And you and I at the same time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it shows you, believe it or not, Mr. Ripley, that Tommy, although not a parrot, speaks in polysyllables. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to have you meet Miss Helena Smith. How are you, Miss Smith?
Fine, thanks.
That's good. Everything's so confused. Don't be surprised if I start to whistle here all of a sudden.
It's all right.
Start looking for that birdcage to put my head in it there. You don't mind if I ask you a question, do you?
No,
Oh, I don't mind.
Peculiar thing. It seems that on all of these programs, no one can just come to the microphone and sing or talk or anything. There's some unwritten law says that they all must answer questions. You can buy a second-hand car. The finance company wouldn't think of asking you a question. You can go into the bank, make a deposit. Nobody asks you a question. But when you come up on a program, it seems you have to answer questions. Do you mind?
I don't mind.
Now, I'm just going to ask you one question. What would you like to sing?
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Thank you very much. That was Miss Helena Smith. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet four boys, the four jungle bees, two guitar players,
This is terrible. Look here. I'm here.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Where's your instrument?
Look here. Wait a minute.
Oh, are you the piano player?
That's me. This is me.
All right. And the gentleman with the bull fiddle, two guitars, the four jungle bees. Now, if you want to go to the piano, we'll get right ahead. You play the...
You got three over there.
Oh, he doesn't play the piano, does he? Oh, do you?
Yes, that's it.
That's the piano. That's Uncle Jim with the two legs. With the three legs is the piano.
Goodness gracious, I'm going, boys. Get ready.
I just wanted to ask this gentleman with the bull fiddle, have you had any trouble with this large violin since the elevator strike? You don't live up a great number of flights, do you? Oh, down in the cellar, the man from Missoula with his big bass viol, eh? I was going to tell you that this bass violin player with Peter Van Steeden lives up on the 25th floor. He has a 25-story walk-up on Park Avenue, and he's been living in the bass violin since the elevator strike, and I thought it might be a suggestion. Well, what are you boys going to play?
Mama don't allow no music in here.
Mama don't allow no music in here?
That's it.
All right, thank you.
Goodness gracious, boss, you got to swing out here. Look at that. Now, Mama don't want no bass fiddling in here. Boy, don't you play no bass fiddling in here. We don't care what Mama allows. Play your bass fiddling anyhow. Goodness gracious, boss, play it in here. Yeah. Swing it, boy. Woo! Ain't that cute? Look here. We don't want no guitar playing in here. Red, we don't get guitar playing in here. Look here. Swing anyhow. Don't care what mama don't want. Look here. Swing, boy. Swing. Goodness gracious. Here now. Boy, I'm gonna swing my piano here now. Look here. Help me, boy. Goodness gracious. Look here. We've got to go here. Yeah. 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 Ah,
Thank you. Those were the four jungle bees, ladies and gentlemen. And now I would like to have you meet the four hallelujah singers. Gentlemen, what are you going to sing?
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Thank you very much. It's not a sequel to Wagon Wheels, is it, or Spare Tire?
No, that's the first wheel.
The steering wheel. All right, go right ahead. Thank you.
Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
To the little wheel run by faith,
my Lord,
and the big wheel run by the grace. Brought a wheel and a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
One of these days, about 12 o'clock,
way in the middle of the air,
this old world is gonna reel and rock.
Way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
There's a little wheel run by faith, and a big wheel run by the grace. God, a wheel and a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
I'll tell you what a hippie'll do
way in the middle of the air.
He'll talk about me and talk about you
way in the middle of the air.
Oh, Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
There's a little wheel run by faith, and a big wheel run by the grace of God. A wheel and a wheel
turning way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw a wheel way in the middle.
Four hallelujah singers. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Maybelle McCoy. Is that right, Miss McCoy?
That's right.
Maybelle, is that one name or two names?
Mabel.
Oh, Mabel, it's one name, huh?
Yeah.
I sort of just going to pieces here. linguistically, orally, and mentally, too, I imagine. And what are you going to sing, Miss McCoy?
The Porter's Love Song.
The Porter's Love Song?
Yes. Yeah.
That isn't a sequel to that Red Caps in the Sunset, is it?
No, it isn't.
All right, thank you very much. Oh, you play your own accompaniment?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I thought there was a pianist there. I turned around and I said, gracious, there's the invisible man showing up here as a pianist again. Miss McCoy plays her own accompaniment. Thank you.
Let me be your dustpan, if you be my broom. Now we can dance together all about the room. Now let me be your dishpan, if you be my little old dish. Now we can eat together anytime we would. Now let me be your clothespin, if you be my pulling line. We can hang out together most any old time. If you be my windless day, for that support is love song to a chambermaid.
Miss McCoy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, James Carlton. Mr. Carlton, you're quite tall, aren't you?
Yes, I
am. How tall are you? Do you mind if I ask?
No, I don't. 6 feet, 2.5 inches.
6'2", and even taller than I am, huh?
Right.
Were you, you don't mind if I just ask you a few questions, do you?
No, go ahead.
Were you born there? Were you born in New York?
No, I wasn't.
Weren't you?
No.
Born in Europe?
Yes, I was born in Cheshire, England.
Oh, in England, were you really?
Yeah.
Cheshire. Cheshire cats. Cheshire. Oh, there's a famous Cheshire cheese, isn't it? It's noted for that, the dairy products there. And then there's that inn in London, the Cheshire Cheese, where Dr. Johnson used to squat when he was in the mood for squatting years ago. You remember Dr. Samuel Johnson, by repute? Remember that old gentleman, the Boswell girls, wrote a book on his life. Life of Johnson by the three Boswell sis. Well, Mr. Carlton, what would you like to sing?
What would I like to sing? I'd like to sing Alone.
All right. Thank you very much.
Alone. Alone with the sky of romance above. Alone. Alone on this night that was meant for love. There must be someone waiting who feels the way I do. Whoever you are you, are you alone, alone on this night that we two could share? Alone, alone with that kiss that would make me care. Oh, if you'd come, I'd promise to be your very own. Alone, alone with a heart meant for you.
Thank you very much. And that concludes our amateur contest for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I see what the applause machine has recorded, Harry has a suggestion with two strings attached to it. Harry.
All right, Fred. I hope our audience will accept my suggestion and the two strings. Ladies and gentlemen, will you just tie one piece of string around your radio so you'll remember to be with us again next week? And tie the other piece of string around your finger so you'll remember the two products that make these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, thank you very much, Peter. I see Fred has the results ready.
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter shows that your applause has been heaviest for the following two acts, the Four Jungle Bees and James Carlton. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold a cluster of digits over the heads of these two boys, one at a time, as I call the names. And I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again to decide the winners, positive winners, for first and second prize. You ready, Harry?
All ready, Fred.
Now, first, the four boys who were the two guitars, Bull Fiddle, and the excellent pianist who played Mama Don't Allow So Well, the Four Jungle Bees. And then the young gentleman from Cheshire, England, the baritone singer you heard last, Mr. James Carlton. Thank you. Now, what does the machine say, Harry?
There you are, Fred, right here.
Thank you. The first prize, $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, ladies and gentlemen, goes to James Carlton, the boy who sang Alone, with a decibel rating of 95. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to the Four Jungle Bees, the four instrumental boys. I'm sorry that everyone couldn't win, but thank you all for coming, and better luck next time. Thank you. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen, and inviting you to another Hour of Smiles next Wednesday evening at the Old Town Hall. Portland, the mighty Allen Art Players, Peter Van Steet, the Ipana Troubadours, the Town Hall Quartet, and another group of high-test amateurs. We'll all be looking for you, so don't forget. Good night.
Heard on this program, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket from Follow the Fleet and Thank Your Father from Flying High. This is the National Broadcasting Company.